live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brendan Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 290. I'm your host, Brendan Reif. Be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. And we got a show for you tonight. We've got the NBA. Talk the NBA. News and notes from the league. The association, the Pacers. We're here with the final stretch run of games. We got college hoops, college basketball, Purdue, Indiana, Indiana State, all those teams around. Who's on the bubble? Who's not? Butler. Talking those as much. We've got NFL news and notes. The NFL Combine is in town. The Combine starts. I mean, basically, they started arriving yesterday, and they are in town, do interviews with players. Then they'll have people that are throwing, running the drills, schmoozing downtown, St. Elmo's, Prime 47, Harry and Izzy's, you name it, the schmoozing, and the NFL world goes on tonight through the rest of the weekend. So that'll be exciting, but we can't start any show without my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I wish I was down there here. It's getting smooth, like them NFL players is at the combine and coaches at the combine, man. But nah, man, I'm doing good, feeling good, and ready to talk some sports from here on the Crossroads Sports episode 290. Man, where we want to start at first?
Yeah, let's dive right into the NFL, John. By the way, I did get to meet Shefty today. Got to shake his hand and meet him, so that was kind of a moment. Kind of came out of nowhere too. I was just turning around and there's Adam Schefter right in front of me. So that was pretty cool. The go, you know, I probably should have asked him, is he got any more news for my Steelers quarterback situation? Where are we looking? But I held off on that question. So, but John, let's dive into the NFL, the combine in town, as we stated. A lot of news. The Chicago Bears have the number one pick once again. What are they going to do? Are they going to trade for it? Are they going to keep it? Is it Caleb Williams? Ryan, GM, really hasn't tipped his hat of what they're going to do yet. But interesting to see kind of where we go and what conversations are had this week here at Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think the temperature of the room is everybody knows that that there's no way that the Chicago Bears walk out of the draft day. The combine is different, you know what I'm saying? This is assessment, y'all. But there's no way the Chicago Bears walk out of draft day with two quarterbacks, namely Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. One of them's going to be there, one of them's not, right? So either the thought process is that you move yourself. You know what I'm saying? You sell the number one overall pick again, and then you leverage out. But like we all know, that's not going to happen. We know this general manager is not tied to this particular quarterback. He might like him. He doesn't love him. I don't think Justin Fields likes the Bears or loves the Bears anymore. And if it was, you know, I think they're just kind of, you know, just kind of playing coy just a little bit. And just kind of seeing what the lay of the land is and what the, you know what I'm saying, what the value for a quarterback like Justin Fields, who doesn't have stellar. It's not terrible stats, but they're not super stellar either. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what is that number like? Do they get a first-round pick back from Justin Fields? I don't think so. I think you should at least ask for 2 seconds or second and a third. That's for darn sure, but I don't think they get a first-round pick for Justin Fields, but. But like no man, this is good evaluation time for that. It's not necessarily the reason why. Here's what I say, Brandon, and I kind of put it. I still don't think, even though the Bears might and this draft class might say Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in this draft, he might not be. He still might, because there's still some errors and flaws in his games, man. Does anybody still remember that Notre Dame game? That didn't look good at all, man. And you know what I'm saying? They didn't have a heck of an offensive line. Great offensive line play throughout the season at USC. But You know what I'm saying? We all know that the Bears need a little more help there. So it's going to remain to be interesting. I think Caleb Williams, you know what I'm saying, will be the number one overall. It could be the kid from UNC. But, no, I don't think it could be. They can't take another flyer on another North Carolina quarterback, Brandon. But I think it's going to be Caleb Williams. But they're going to do, like, the Bears are kind of set themselves up to make him successful. So, like, if that means the Justin Fields is gone for 2 second-rounders because they can get offensive line support, then I think that's what kind of happens.
Yeah, I just saw a note. Caleb Williams reportedly made $10 million in his 2 seasons at USC. So, but yeah, the NIL is going strong for that. John, there's QBs not throwing at the combine. Caleb Williams, I ain't going to throw. Drake May, I'm not going to throw. Marvin Harrison, I ain't going to work out. Y'all can see my game tape. That speaks for itself.
Right.
It looks like it's a lot more now just, if you're at the top, it's just like, hey, I'll do an interview with you. I'll meet with you to get your psyche, see if your mantra and your mind frame works with our team or not. But a lot of these guys are just saying, you know what, I ain't going to do any drills. I'll see you at my pro day. So it's kind of disappointing on that end, but,
right.
You know, it's kind of like, what do you got to lose, right? Yeah, and
right.
You don't have anything really to gain from it as much. I think you got your game tape. That shows enough over, 12, 13, soon to be 14, 15, 16 games for some of these players here starting next year. So,
right. It's a wonder why they don't participate. A lot of these guys, like, you can be mad onto that, Brandon. A lot of these guys, they didn't play in that championship game. They didn't play in the – so they didn't play in the bowl season. So again, right, man, they – like, so why not? Why not embrace, I know what you're saying. Why not embrace the experience of the total NFL experience, man? So, I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's a necessary change in the guard. You know, guys, this kind of happens all the time, but it is disappointing.
Yeah. Looking at the franchise tag, John, Bengals have franchise tagged T. Higgins. They also said they're willing to listen for trades for T. Higgins. No franchise tag for Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley. Ballard came out today and said he's going to do what it takes to keep Michael Pittman. So you got to believe he's going to meet with Pittman's representation from CC or CAA this week, and that they will probably work something out. But between the tags there and Ballard saying we'll do everything we can to keep him. And your friend Double D said it earlier today, the hot seat restarts for Ballard this week, just because this team's got to be in the playoffs next year. You've got to address the positions, because this fan base will not allow another season kind of like how last year played out.
So playoffs or nothing. We're not necessarily talking about Super Bowl.
Correct.
Because we still have a
division. Yeah, division.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to get back to Pittman real quick. So Pittman, we know as a coach workhorse, he leads the coach the last couple seasons in yardage, right? Total yardage. But crazy factor though, Brandon, he don't get in the end zone. Coach really like playing for. Is he a durable, and now veteran player, absolutely dependable player, absolutely. But he does not get in the end zone at all, man. His touchdown all those things, man, but he don't get in the end zone. I kinda thought that was that's the reason that's the hang up. He's probably somewhere hanging in. He's probably gonna get a franchise tag, man, because they can't even though he is homegrown. How could you overpay for 15 touchdowns?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. How could you overpay for 15 touchdowns? Justin Jefferson, comparatively, they've been in the league the same time. I think they've both been in the league 4 years. I do believe so. At the same time, Justin Jefferson has double the amount of touchdowns already, and is often injured, man. So that's just kind of the coach need to know they need to get more explosive on offense. So again, we're not kicking them out the door, but I wouldn't necessarily give them $33 million either.
Correct. Report is that Russ Wilson, the trade market is cold for Russ. Peyton kind of came out on the radio or on the press conference here in Indianapolis and said, they will not for better words, they won't make that mistake, and they'll find somebody, a quarterback in there to lead this team. So,
wow.
Where does Russ look? I keep saying still Pittsburgh should at least invite him in to have a conversation at the least, and kind of see where you go from it.
Yeah, or how his dead cap hit number is something like $80 million, right? So, $80 million plus. So like,
he ain't gonna sit out.
You don't think so?
No.
He makes $32 million. He'll make $32 million if he sits out anyway. $32 million. But you know,
there's teams
right,
that need that play.
They want to play. Yeah, they wanted to have him.
Yeah. Nobody. There's teams that need it. You know. Commanders, they ain't happy with what they got.
Sean Payton, Brandon, let's talk about this. Sean Payton, you know there's rumors about them picking J.J. McCarthy?
I heard J.J.'s kind of going up draft boards, and this week could even elevate him more to top three quarterback.
Brandon, we've seen a lot of, you know, J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. I didn't think it was terrible, but top. I didn't think it was top 10 at all.
No, I agree. I didn't think so either.
I think Michael Penix Jr. is often injured. That's the reason why they're not mentioning him in the top 10. Bo Nix, we're talking quarterback. Bo Nix, I've heard in the top 14. But I didn't see J.J. I didn't see J.J. McCarthy. Like, nowhere near the top 10.
Let me ask you this,
but,
John. How do you rank your, give me one second here. How do you rank your quarterbacks? In what order do you rank them? Let me give you your main guys. I'll give you your top six. Caleb Williams, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Where do you rank them at? How do you rank them? Who do you feel like, if you had your team, John, that you could bring them in and they would kind of be a cornerstone of your franchise? May not be the franchise, but can be a cornerstone of it.
Yeah, you just can't overreach. So Michael Penix Jr. probably got the best arm and overall game. I won't say necessarily just arm. He's got probably the best overall game. It's just off of it. Like, how many knee surgeries has he had, right, on those knees? So you can take him out of. You kind of take him – if he's the first rounder, Brandon, it'll be probably to the tail end of the first round. You know what I'm saying? Teams, it's just the medicals on that one, man. When you say out of those quarterbacks, I still would take Bo Nix over J.J. McCarthy. But the number one overall – yeah, the number one overall pick is probably going to be – you know, I mean, you know, it's going to be a quarterback for sure, for darn sure, but I don't know, man.
Oh, I'm giving you six guys. You think, I mean, I'll tell you now, for me.
I think the Patriots, there's no way the Patriots need a quarterback. Were they picking at three? I do believe the Patriots are the quarterback, but I don't think Jaden Daniels is their guy.
I think it is. I truly do. I think Jaden Daniels will be their guy. Especially with that new – John, you have to – this ain't the old Patriots anymore, man. This isn't. There's a new GM. There's a new head coach. There's a new style. I was a victim of it as well. We have to get out of our head that this is the old New England Patriots. It's not. It's not. And
of
player fits Gerard Mayo.
Right. Bill Belichick will be taking the cornerback here at pick three, right? You know what I'm saying? Somebody.
I mean, look at it. What's the face? Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's off. Well, no, Bill O'Brien's not the offensive coordinator there anymore. He took the Boston job. But, like, their offensive coordinator, which now it's escaping me. Give me one second here because I was completely wrong. Alex Van Pelt, you know, this guy – he's, you know, my thing is with him, I see they're wanting to get that passing game a lot more. Who's your more versatile guy? I thought even when they had Cam Newton, John, that was back in Belichick's days, they were a little more versatile with Cam, with the run, and they could draw up some trick plays and things. They weren't the greatest with him, but I felt that's the best quarterback they've had from somebody since Tom Brady's been gone. So that's where I kind of think Jaden Daniels comes in and fills that gap over a decade.
That would be filling the need, not necessarily filling for the best player. The best player at that, the best player at pick three is Marvin Harrison Jr. Right. So I wonder, would there be any type of like draft day finagling, like, hey, move up, move down? Because they still, I think you could get Jaden Daniels at pick five. I know we didn't win deep draft. Now we're going to be talking about the combine. We didn't win deep draft.
Well, no, this is part of the combine. This is talking about players' talents, you know?
Yeah.
I think Arizona ends up probably with – they get the fourth pick. So I think Marvin Harrison goes there, to be honest with you. And if he doesn't, then I think Harbaugh – crazy that is, I think Harbaugh – and the Chargers go after Mr. Ohio State himself, Harrison.
Oh, I don't know. Well, San Diego, shame on me, Los Angeles Chargers, that's a pick that does, he probably picks a – I know, Brandon, you don't think this is crazy. He probably picks a tackle. He probably picks a tackle there, man. He has to – they got to figure out, like, why they're not winning games offensively. And either he picks a tackle there or they sell that pick. But I don't think he's gonna pick a wide out there. They don't necessarily need a Marvin Harrison Jr. They got the $1 billion quarterback. They got to figure out like why they can't win close games.
Mm-hmm.
But if Marvin Harrison's there, man, that'd be amazing.
Right. I mean, all Buckeyes and Wolverines fans would be losing their shit. But
I know all the Colts homies want they want Brock Bowers to fall all the way to 15.
Let's get real. That ain't happening. Ain't happening at all. Do we feel now the Commanders, John, are they going to, could they sit tight and gather some draft assets? They're at number two. They're not really at a full need. They kind of like their quarterback situation. I thought Sam Howell was a serviceable quarterback. They're not going to go out and draft Drake May. They're not going to take another North Carolina quarterback. I'm sorry, they're not. That's where I feel like they're going to trade. The best, I think the trade that they would do is they would trade down and you can get the 12th pick and then a 2025, maybe first round or second round as well. And the Broncos are deep needy of a quarterback, and the Broncos then trade up to the number two spot possibly. They leap ahead of these other teams so they can go out and get themselves a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels if they feel out there, because they need a quarterback. Sitting in the 12th spot, you're not going to get him there. I think they need to make a move, and I think Commanders are happy with Sam Howell. I really do.
Depends how you rate Sam Howell's talent. I mean, Sam Howell, I don't know, man. It wasn't terrible. On this note, man, Washington, but here's the thing, man. You sell that pick. Washington needs more talent.
Can they trade back to that 10-11 spot and they get J.J. McCarthy?
That's what I'm saying. Right, that's what I'm saying. They need to get more better talent. So, yeah, I can see totally that happening.
I see them trading back, and then they can get J.J. down at that value, and then the Denver comes up and gets their quarterback, either Jaden Daniels or Drake May, whichever one they prefer. Big board-wise, Indianapolis Colts, John, I've seen several big boards that's got them taking cornerbacks. The latest is Terrion Arnold from Alabama.
Okay.
Quarterback's kind of the biggest area of need I've read for the Colts, kind of what they're looking like, and they have a chance to get a good one. Elite size, ball skills. He's got – they're calling a potential Pro Bowler early. Just because he made it from Alabama, but – is cornerback really the dire need right now early for the Colts? Is it that position? They got Bowers three picks later going to Cincinnati. I don't like that whatsoever as a Steeler fan, but we'll see. For my Steelers, John, I think you got to go at 20. You almost got to go corner. at that point again. You got Joey Porter last year in the top of the second round, but you need to make some extra moves. I kind of like Alabama's other corner, Kool-Aid McKistry. I kind of like him coming up there possibly and taking that position. So we'll see.
Malik Nay.
Yeah, this mock had LSU. Minnesota taking Bo Nix at 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they have them trading up and getting Bo Nix trade with the Ravens.
Brandon, I wouldn't be surprised, though, man. You say defense, and I mean, that sounds like a solid pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers, considering who's the coach to them in that franchise. But, like, don't they need to get a little bit more than vanilla and wide out, too?
Yeah, they also need a center. They just cut their center, Mason Cole. Well, so they don't have a starting center right now.
Maybe they picked that kid from Notre Dame.
Well, he's an offensive tackle, not a center, so that won't help too much.
Converting.
Listen, if anybody knows about converting and how well that's gone, it's Indianapolis Colts fans with how that's
right.
Been. We won't put them through that gauntlet anymore. Zach Wilson, John, was granted permission to seek a trade. Do we feel he can succeed at any other team? Because I don't. I think we've seen all you can see from a Zach Wilson.
I mean, they should be trying to either cut him or trade him. So if he requested a trade,
I'm talking about him.
He got to get back. Everybody gets right when he goes to San Francisco, so he got to figure out how to get to San Francisco. Or Brandon, and I'm being for real, or Jim Harbaugh. They can figure that out, man. He won games in the NFL. He had games over 300 yards, I do believe, at least two, I think, this season. At least 270. I know that for a fact. But, like, nah, man, if he still wants to play and ain't got the jitters, because that's what it looked like last year. It looked like he had the jitters all the time and didn't know necessarily, didn't have a connection to with none of his teammates. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I mean? Like what was the security blanket? You didn't know. You know what I'm saying? On the game-to-game basis, he looked like Jekyll and Hyde. But, like, no, he wants to get right. And now if he wants to play, those are two different scenarios. But if he wants to get right, I'll say, man, go out there to San Francisco or the Chargers. Again, you're playing in the backup role for darn sure if you're playing one of those teams. But the opportunity might be there to play, man, you know. Or even Arizona, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know what I'm saying? You get played some time there for sure. So, you know.
Sorry, I was yawning in the middle of that. Sticking to kind of like within college football a little bit, but it's more of a college in general. UMass, John. UMass is coming back to the MAC. We got Calipari. We got Marcus Camby. We got the crew, the alumni, coming back to the MAC.
Man, doesn't it seem like UMass should be in a Big East school situation? They should be. But they're not because they have better football. They have better football facilities than most of those Big East teams, man. But I don't know. I can't necessarily gauge the just yet because I kind of found out about an hour ago myself too about UMass. UMass, you speak to some of the great basketball history. Dr. J also played basketball at UMass. So coming to the MAC, I don't know what Remember, it used to be the Mid-American Conference. Now it stretch all the way over to Massachusetts, man. My goodness. But, conference got to do what they got to do to stay relevant. So I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, I can't wait to see the, you know what I'm saying, those games, you know what I'm saying, those Ball State versus UMass games, Akron versus UMass, you know what I'm saying, Buffalo versus UMass and all that. So welcome to the Mid-American Conference. UMass, they haven't necessarily been great. But I don't want to get on that bad. I don't want to get on that bad side, Brandon, because you already made enemies at Temple, and me making enemies at UMass ain't gonna make this show any more popular. So,
yeah,
I'll just say welcome to the MAC.
Yeah, that's fine. let's go. By the way, as I'm seeing it, let's stick to college. Let's go to college basketball side, John. I am so sick, and it's only been a few days. And I texted you immediately afterwards. I am so sick and tired of everybody's woke-ass takes in February in the world of college basketball about court storming. I am so over it. I'm so tired. There's no other stories to talk about in February, but everyone wants to talk about court storming. Listen up. Watch the video. I've seen four different angles. I'm a Duke guy. I'm a Duke guy. Filipowski, come on, man. How about the push-off that you gave to the kid? You didn't roll no damn ankle. You didn't hurt yourself. It was all an effing ploy, man. It's disgusting. I hate that Duke did it because now Duke's going to be known for that as well. But I'm on the other majority side on this. Like, this is nothing. It could have been something. Yeah, it could have, but it wasn't. Everybody blew this shit way out of proportion. John, I said it to you immediately. This is blown out of proportion.
Yeah, and he kind of hammed it up. He did get touched, though, and that's unfortunate, unnecessary. And like, you know what I'm saying, you fans got to understand that when you rush the court, I get it special that your basketball team beat Duke. But, like, go out, y'all out there to go cheer, not to go out there and hurt the other players, whether, you know what I'm saying, it's a phantom punch, a swatch, or a side, a gancer, you know what I'm saying, or even an FU. Like, keep it moving. They trying to get to their next destination. They trying to get the locker room. They trying to get the bus. They sweaty. All those things, probably pissed off they just lost the game. And, you know what I'm saying, I mean, it's not cool. I like court storming.
I do too.
But I get the, here's the thing though, Brandon. These athletes, like Brandon, you just said, the homie just made $10 million. The football player from USC, he just made $10 million. And, you know what I'm saying, these athletes, Caitlin Clark, wait till her numbers come out next year. The ticket sales in Iowa went up to like $492 if you don't have no student ticket. Like, $492?
Right.
The FIBA better start printing tickets right now in doubles, right? But, like, nah, man, in all seriousness, like, these athletes are now more, even more, unfortunately, I don't want to put a price on anybody's head, but, like, they see themselves as more valuable. So, you know what I'm saying? And Kyle Filipowski's, in his mind, like, they somebody could have, you know what I'm saying, even though he flopped, right, somebody could have damaged his future career of making $30 to $40 million.
Look, could the security personnel of the campus, hey, we're playing Duke, there's a chance there could be court storm. Shouldn't we probably have extra security for it? I mean, it's been done before. People can handle it a certain way. Even if you wait a minute.
Wait for us, you know they was gonna beat Duke that day. They ain't know they ain't beat Duke in how many years, man.
When you get court stormed, people need to treat that as that's a sign of respect. When you get court stormed as a team,
right?
Do you realize every single one of Purdue's losses this year that has been a
court
storm? That's respect.
That is.
That's respect. I don't care what you say. That's respect.
But you know, Brandon, okay, let's talk about this. Are you really supposed to court storm the number? It's like if you're an unranked team. If you're an unranked team, are you supposed to court storm if you beat the number 14 team in the nation? Or I'm asking, is there a top five or better criteria?
I think top 10. I think top 10 if you're not ranked. I think that's where you cut it off. Because there was somebody else that recently court stormed that. It made zero sense on court storming. I forget who it was. Because I saw it and I said, did they just really court storm? Like, that's what we're doing? So
was it a Detroit Mercy or somebody like 1-27?
No, man, let's give them some respect. Come on now. They beat IEPUI. they're not even the worst team, man. Mississippi Valley State is.
Wow.
I think, let me see if they won last night. I was going to put some money on them on basketball last night. I said this had to be the game. Holy shit, they won the game last night. Did they win last night? What's 26? Nope, they lost last night. Damn. They lost by, no, they won. They won 57-51. First win of the season for Mississippi Valley State. So shout out to them, John.
Absolutely.
They are... I'm trying to bring up something. Give me a second here. Mississippi Valley State.
I think they won.
1-27.
Hey, man, you got to start. That's how the program starts, man. You got to win your first one until you win your 27. Yeah. But Brandon, I thought you were talking about how sick you were. You know, I'm, you know what I'm sick of? Maybe we'll make this a segment. What are you sick of?
What are you sick of? Okay, I like that new segment. Let's do that every week. Everybody's got something you're sick of.
Listen. I get it. The basketball team that plays in Bloomington, they have the hearts and minds of everybody except for West Lafayette Brandon, right? They have the hearts and minds of everybody in the Hoosier State, right? You know what I'm saying? God bless Bobby Knight. Rest in peace. All the Slick Leonard, all you alumni. But my goodness, man, it's like Indiana State, who, I get it, they had a loss to Illinois State, right, at home, bad loss. And they had another loss against Southern Illinois. But my goodness, they didn't bounce back. And, like, it's like nobody's talking about State. Nobody's talking about what they're getting.
It's a wrap, man. It's a wrap for them.
But hold on. No, well, it's a wrap. No. They got to win. If they win, they got Murray State.
John, it's a wrap. They ain't going to win it. They ain't going to win. I'm sorry. It's a wrap.
They're going to win out?
They ain't gonna win the conference tournament.
Well, that's what I'm. That's my point. That's kind of speak to one. The media coverage is seemingly like over. Like IU, come on, man. IU won that Wisconsin game like barely. They had to pull a fire alarm. You know the Fisher.
Yeah, I saw a picture. Mike Woodson was pulling the fire alarm. Dockage posted it.
It was probably Fisher.
Had to be Woodson.
Nobody knew where Fish was. Nobody knew where Fish was when the alarm was going off. He's like, what?
Right?
What happened?
What's going on?
Yeah, the media coverage, man. But, like, Brandon, a couple of weeks ago, you said you felt good about Indiana State. But you think now differently because of those two losses. But
yep.
I think they finished out the team. I think they finished out the season strong. They got a solid team. And they play defense. They get like 6 steals per game. They score like 118. Well, not 118. They average. You know what I'm saying? Like their efficiency. You know, so those basketball crazy. You know those numbers. Their offensive efficiency is like 118. You know what I'm saying? So they know how to score. They can't lose tonight. They're not necessarily great at rebounding. So like a big team is going, like a big team with a Zach E. You know what I'm saying? They're like somebody like that is going to kill them. But like if they were to play, I'll tell you what, Brandon. If they were to play Wisconsin, I bet they would be Wisconsin. I'm pretty confident of it. I'm pretty sure they would beat Michigan this year. Pretty sure, Brandon, on a neutral court, they probably beat IU. But because they play in a non-Power 5 conference, they got to win their Mo Valley, you know, Santa Missouri Valley, you know, tournament. But like, man, I just wanted a little chime in on them, man. You know, it's more than just because, Brandon. You know what? You know what's gonna happen next year? All those dudes is going to be, you know, unfortunately, man, somebody's going to NIL them with something better. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's the Jason Kent, the guard who's leading them in points, or the Avila kid who kind of leads them in, like, every other statistical category, man. Somebody's going to cherry pick off him. But I'm hoping they went out and, like, you know what I'm saying, and, like, you know what I'm saying, we got another Indiana team. Because, like, right now, Butler's still on the bubble, and IU got to win, like, all the rest of their games.
I think they're dead, John.
I think
I think Butler's even dead.
Dang
them. I looked at their stuff earlier today with as I was going through with my bracket thing, my bracketology, and I just – no, man, they've lost 4 in a row. They're 7-10 in the conference, 16-12. I think they're dead. They've got to win tonight. Tonight's like the nail in the coffin if they lose tonight. And they play at home tonight. Mr. Squirt himself, Rick Pitino, comes back into town. Mr. Squirt, white suit. Rick Pitino in town. Pitino's got his boys. After Pitino called out his team, they played great basketball. They went out and whooped Creighton's ass. So now they're here. Yep. The game's a pick 'em. I took St. John's tonight. I had a free bet, $100 free bet. So. I just put it on St. John's tonight. I don't like what I'm seeing from Butler. They've gotten blown out. They've gotten beat by Marquette. It was a close loss. They got blown out against Creighton. They got blown out by 10 against Villanova. They got blown out by 12 against a bad Seton Hall team.
Kind of wipes away all that good they had coming into in the preseason when they, you know, saying, when they beat Oklahoma. Yep. Kind of wipes all that.
I just don't believe in them. I don't know. They've got St. John's, DePaul, and Xavier as their last three games. DePaul, look, thank God they're playing DePaul.
But you know what's crazy, Brandon? You damn near just want DePaul to say, hey, man, we don't want to play the game. Because that damn near don't even help you with your net rating. You know what I mean? That's as crazy as that sounds. As crazy as that sounds. Like, you still want to, like, you play the game. But, like, nah, man, they got to win out and definitely probably get a couple wins in the Big East tournament.
Yeah, so I'll be keeping my eye on that game this evening. I'd like to win that $100 free bet I got here. So we'll go bring on our guy here, another guy that loves to win bets, get free bets. Hopefully red 9. D-Cot, what's going on?
Bet them all. Fellas, good show. I want to hit you guys first. You all were talking about UMass, and JB, I'm really disappointed in you and your UMass knowledge. You failed to mention Tony Barbee, the fighting
Hold
Barbee
on, man.
I said
Dr. J. He's the most famous alumni, bro.
Well, I know that, but Tony Barbee is also famous for some shenanigans too over there at UMass. From Indianapolis, North Central High School, gotta give him his props, man.
We mentioned UMass. I didn't mention Lou Rowe either, man. Lou Rowe, former, you know what I'm saying, All American.
There you go. Hey, a couple topics I wanted to hit, right? One was court storming, and Brandon, you and I have been disagreeing on everything about the last 5 damn months, man, but we're spot on this one. The dude from Duke flopped. He put his foot out there, and then he reached out at the guy. Yeah, he bumped into him. Hell, you know it's going to happen, and he anticipated that, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
If you look at the replay, and I told that one dude that talks really loud and just babbles about nothing, the dude from Duke was going to be injured and tried to imply that he may be out for a longer time. I told him, I said, he won't miss even a game. You see his teammates around him holding
He's
him up.
He's playing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to tell him, man. I said he and Caitlyn Jenner, not Caitlyn, what was her name? Caitlyn, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
They should be together. They both flopped on court storming, tried to get sympathy. So, for me,
if you get drafted by the Warriors, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead with the court storming. It's a part of college basketball and college sports. And it's so funny how Jay Billis has all of a sudden conveniently forgot the last year when Duke beat and they stormed the field at Duke. Who was that, Brandon? I know you know. Duke beat had their big win last season in football, and they stormed the field. So he conveniently left that out of the conversation.
Yeah.
So these hypocrites, man, we got to be careful.
Oh, no.
Got to make sure we pay attention to what's going on and not just listen to these hypocrites because they sound intellectual and sound as though they know what they're talking about, because Billis didn't say one word about that at all, and I was really disappointed because supposedly he's the czar, right? Isn't he the czar?
Well,
of college sports?
He said some smart stuff today, man, because these networks are really kind of pressing for a 96 or even a 112 team tournament, and he's very stout against that. And I know we kind of talked about course, I was kind of parallel that. So what he
right.
he also kind of talked about that. I don't want no more teams in
the
tournament
at
all.
But JB, check this out, man, and Brandon. It was at 32. It was at
right.
64, 68.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about this. It's just like the college football platform. Team number 13, 14, and 15 in college football are going to complain. Team 68, 69, 70, 71 are going to complain. Whatever the number it is, It's all about finances. That's where this is coming from, right?
Well, the science.
And if they can generate.
Right. Well, there's the science, which we are in the science of. You know what? Brandon just kind of said it. If Indiana State, like again, man, they will zip any mid-major.
Yeah.
They will zip any mid-major. But unfortunately, they preseason, when they played those two Power 5 schools, Michigan State and the other one escapes you right now, I think it was Alabama or Arkansas, one of them, as Alabama. They lost, the Michigan State game was close, but the other game against the SEC school was a blowout.
Well, they gave Michigan State a game for the first half.
Yeah, but the committee looked at those things and like, all right, yeah, you can zip a mid-major. If we put you with another mid-major, great. You'll play them, it'll be an exciting game. But you have shown Indiana State, the science says, you couldn't beat a Power Five. So that's why
it'd be a nice
they
showing.
Win. It's a nice showing, but like they don't necessarily like those schools. Some of those schools, like they wouldn't be the bottom low end of the Big Ten. I'm not saying Indiana State wouldn't beat the bottom low end of the team. I just said that they would, but they look at their resume.
And
some of your schools, like I don't think. Like I'm trying to think. Them give me a miserable school. I can't think right now. Okay. A team like you said who?
I said Bama.
You said Bama.
Yeah.
I think like Minnesota. Minnesota and Iowa. Both of those are like middling in the Big Ten. Both are like flirting around seven and eight, something like that right now. Like
right.
The committee is gonna look at them and say, hey man. Because they're a Power Five, they deserve to be in. Like, no, man, they suck. They suck
well,
all
but that's
year.
That's what they're gonna do. That's the whole push, though. Because five, that gives you like free kudos if you're in the Power Five, even though you haven't
right.
done much.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can go, yeah. you can go 50, you know, what I'm saying 50-50 on your preseason. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily think it's fair, but again, I don't necessarily think they need to 96 teams or anything. That's reward mediocrity.
No, I would agree with that, man. I just think that, you know, there's a driving force behind this. It's been 64 for quite a while. Then you add, you know, this playing garbage, which is I've never respected. Just like I don't respect the playing tournament they have in the NBA. This is ridiculous.
They're messing
just
around.
Adding more teams.
Well, that's another conversation. They're messing around, man. They better not. They're messing around. Make the NCAA tournament best out of three.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But you know though, JB, that's not something that's like crazy out of the question, man. That you didn't say anything that that would never happen. That could never happen. No, that could absolutely
right.
be something to happen, man. And then
right.
what do you have?
Hey, man, I don't know what your next question is, but I know it's probably the Pacers, man. What you think?
Man, listen, I've been going off on these dudes. My disappointment comes in play, right? You beat Dallas, right? Thanks, man.
Yeah,
appreciate
that was
it.
Good game.
You beat Dallas. You play well, and then you turn around and you lay an egg. You did your back-to-back. But with that said, you were at home, and you know, in the fourth quarter, your lead guys, were sitting on the bench, and then we've got our all star Tyrese Haliburton, and I love him, but as a Pacer fan, you can't be like Bron fans and say, well, he's my guy, so I can't say anything negative about him. He played terribly. He looked
mm-hmm.
disinterested, especially in the second half. They had because the way Toronto plays. They have all their guys are like 6'5" to 6'9", you know, it seems
mm-hmm.
like. And I think that bothered him a little bit. Disappointed in his play. Turner played well again. Didn't like all the hype about, oh, he scored 34. I don't care. They lost, right? So that's part of our problem in our culture here as Pacer fans.
Well,
damaged.
He said he needed to play. Ben Maverick said he needed to play defensively. You know what, Decott? After this year, I don't want it next year. Now, this year is we're in the playoffs, right? Pacers in the
right.
playoffs. That's expected. I think the fans should
yeah.
be happy. Next year, I don't want to hear nothing about, hey, man, we got a defense. We got to get it. No, I don't want to hear it.
Right, because you got athletes. You got guys on that team
yeah.
with long arms and can play with a defensive presence. But as I was talking to somebody earlier today, man, people say, well, the NBA doesn't play defense. Well, the players, you know, it's the same as it was in the 90s in this way. You got guys that will lock you up as best they can. But the rules have precluded players to be able to lock
right.
you up. And two changes made that different. And most people don't want to agree. I don't understand why. Maybe they're just novices. One is freedom of movement. And the other is
yep.
the Zsa Zsa Pachulia rule. Because now when a guy is shooting a three, here's what's going to happen. Either A, if he gets touch in anywhere in his body, he's going to fall. Or if that
Correct.
Doesn't happen, the guy is trying to close out and wears his – then they call it flagrant.
Right.
Those are the two things, man, that have created this issue. You know, I hear these, oh, they don't play defense anymore. Man, listen.
I would also, Deacon, in a deeper, like, when people, like, I know you watch, because, like, dude, I enjoy when y'all take pictures of the game, man, I really do. But
oh,
in a deeper conversation, they don't, like, NBA coaches and college coaches, to some of them, they don't, they tell them, like, once a player gets to a certain point, they tell them don't foul. On defense,
exactly.
They tell them don't foul.
Exactly.
They tell them don't foul.
Exactly.
They tell you, let them score. Like, if it's like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying, if a guy beats you, like, boom. They tell him about her, get the ball down.
Let him go.
True. It's not like ole, but it's kind of like in prime.
Because if you're in prime, you
got to earn that. You got to earn that. You make him take a foul.
Yeah.
Now, the analytics say, oh, well, you run the risk of an and one. Like, nah, man, just put the hard foul on him and the ball will
not be an issue.
But
here's your challenge, though, JB. Hard foul, mm-hmm. Hell, you're going to get ejected. Now, you swipe down on the guy's arm, at least a flagrant.
Yep.
Flagrant one.
They say
then
that.
You got the bench.
Yep.
Then you got the guy. Don't let him stay on the floor for more than 5 seconds. They may kick you out. That's
you
a part
like
of the change that needs to happen.
You got to like, though, from a pod, I always wanted to, you know, say fans, like Shapiro. His play.
Shapiro.
You mean Ben? You mean Ben?
Nah, get the name right if you're going to talk about it. Come on.
JB, I'm gonna tell you this, right? And me and your sponsor kind of had it out a few days ago about that, because he was praising all hail Buddy Hill, right? The missing link to the title run.
They don't chase. They don't necessarily chase offense no more. They ain't necessarily, you know what I mean?
No, exactly. Exactly. He's long.
Yeah, the trade on paper looks like, all right, you traded out a 15-point game score.
Yeah.
But,
like,
I would say the
team. Look deeper than that.
I would say defensively the team got better. And his rotation, I know, we don't like never give the coach no credit. His rotation. It now makes more sense, man. Unfortunately, with Pierre-Jacques Siakam, like the shot selection, the shots wasn't going to be there for anybody, not necessarily just a Buddy Hill, Obi Toppin, and everybody else too.
I'd agree. I agree 100%.
But it ain't like everybody's it's playing time. Heck, even what's his name? The kid the McBuckets. He still gets playing time. You know,
he's got an ankle deal going now, and so he's out. Tonight, he's out tonight, and probably, I mean, if he's not hitting shots, man, it's the same as Buddy. If you're not hitting shots, you don't need to see the court. But in this case, he's on an expiring contract, and the only reason why, the reason we got him was because of the dollars. I mean, it's not a loss, man, because look at those young guys that you've got. You don't have a first-round pick this season or season after next. You've got two rookies that you've got to develop over this last half of this season and in the summer because they're going to have to get some run so that first round pick isn't like, oh man, I wish we would have had it. I don't want
right
now.
It's already there.
Because I believe Ben and Jarris are those two guys. Anybody in the draft this coming season, I think I would have picked Jarris over anybody in this upcoming draft. And I'm not a college basketball guru like I used to be, but I would imagine Jarris Walker, if you had him, anyone, even in the lottery, would say, I'll take this
guy. Well,
hey,
man, the show you missed calling in, and it's true, because I watched some of the Mad Ants tape. If Oscar Tshiebwe ever learns how to shoot from, like, the corner,
because
Brandon said it a couple of times, but he's a rebounding fool. He know where the ball,
Nothing changed. His only downside to me, I mean, because you can work to develop guys, but man, the guy is 30 years old already. He's 20, could be 28 before the season ends.
Right. Yeah, he's an old senior.
Yeah, and that's the challenge there, right? But I'm again the challenge. I look at the Pacers. You look at the Eats, right? There's a logjam from 4 to 8, man. The Pacers, they're 8 right now, but they're tied with I think Miami for 8 because of the head to head. But hell, they could in 4 games. They can be fourth because Philly is going to continue to drop. And I know Buddy Hill was the missing link from Philadelphia. However, they're going to continue to lose games in a bad way. But I'm. But I'll tell you this. Pacers 5 or 6. I know Charles Barkley said second seed. No. I could see 5 or 6.
They would need every ball bounce their way to be the number 2 seed in the East,
yeah.
Man. I think they can get back up to the 6th seed. That kind of puts them in a position playing like Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is kind of going back and forth. Since I think Doc Rivers has got the guys at least playing. He's been removed, the clowns. He's still got Patrick Beverley, which Brandon loves Patrick Beverley, unfortunately. But it's just an irritant that you got to have. But he's, you know what I'm saying, he's kind of got his rotation and like where he wants the ball and all those things. They feel a bad
right.
team, which is the edge to the Pacers in a matchup with them. So if I'm the Pacers, I'm pushing to get their 5
yeah.
or 6.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be a dogfight, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a dogfight the rest of the season. Look at the schedule. Yeah, the Pacers got, the fifth, quote-unquote, easiest schedule. But, man, the way they play, they've lost 5 games. 2 to Portland, 2 to Charlotte, and 1 to Toronto. Those games, I don't want it to happen, but I got a feeling those games are going to come back and haunt the Pacers, man, in their drive for getting that 50. But we'll see what happens.
Can I tell you what I saw this week, and I'm a little nervous on? And it's not something big right now with this team, but I saw it. And I know I'm not the only one that saw it. It's not a, oh, my God, this can't happen. Like, we're going to have to figure it out as a team. But it's emotional, and both these players want to be the alpha. They want to be the guy. They want to be. But the other night when Ben had his 30-something points and he was kind of cooking on his end with stuff, and Tyrese looked like he was completely just not Tyrese Haliburton for a game, probably his worst game as a Pacer. There was shots late in the game, yes. There were shots late in the game that Tyrese took that should not have taken.
Oh.
Ben was the hot hand. And I saw Ben very animated, throw his hands up, shake his head, and that's a little chink in the armor. That it's not something big, but it's a little chink that Ben's like, man, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy tonight. I'm the hot guy. He can't be that every night. I saw a little chink. I hope it's not something that's going to develop further. But it showed
Brandon. Itself. Brandon, you know, I was sitting there watching the game because I was going to go to the game, but last minute, wife had to do some other stuff. So I watched the game, and you're 1,000,000% right. I saw the same thing. And and if you looked at it in that early in that fourth quarter, Tyrese was hunting his shot. He was hunting his shot. He was like, I've got to get mine. It wasn't his night, man. He was playing horribly. And he's gotta mature. He's sitting there high fiving Luka Doncic, Luka's you know slapping daps with his father and all that. Like I said before, he talks to the other teams way too much. It's great you got a great smile. It's great that you said you're a Midwestern guy from Wisconsin that you okay with being here. That's great, but you got to understand that there's gonna be some times where it ain't your night, buddy. Keep on moving. That's the push for all NBA. And that additional incentive. That's why I wish they'd get rid of that, because it drives players to do things that are out of body. And I'm not talking about playing every night. They should be playing every night. And 65 games is still too low for me, in my opinion. So, but you're exactly right, Brandon. I saw it also. And the way, and you know how Ben's frustrated is because he'll put his hands, both hands out, and palms in the air. Just watch. He does it. It's the same thing on the roulette table. Same exact thing, man. And I'm telling you, he was disappointed. And I hope they had a conversation, a man-to-man conversation.
I do, too, because that's the first time I've seen it. And that all it takes is one little crack for something to develop.
Yeah,
not saying
it's
going to be like a dam breaking, but that crack in that wall, there's something there.
Yeah. He's hot. Well, Tyrese is hunting, man.
And here's where the Pacers would make their mistake. They would say, oh, well, Tyrese is our guy, and then Ben would be animated, and they trade him out. That's exactly how it would play out. So,
and then the last thing with that is, here's the thing about Ben. Ben is a real quiet, low-key guy. He doesn't like all that hoopla in any way, shape, or form. So from a personality perspective, that's not – he's not a fan of that anyway. You know, his sister is here with him, who was a college athlete, and she's here with him to kind of help him. Ben is not a talkative guy at all. So you look for that too, man. Look for the game tonight. I'm on my way home now, but I'm going to be looking for the exact same thing.
I'm watching for it right now. Ben was wide open for a three, and Tyrese went to the basket and got swatted. Ben didn't do anything there, but they're also up by five. So
yeah, but you know, you're dead on, man. And I know that my counterpart may call in and he'll say, "Oh, there's nothing there." He's the guy that he has some agreement with Pacers management to never say anything true as long as it doesn't share a positive light on the Pacers. But you got to just tell the truth, man, and you're exactly right. They need that win tonight because they get ready to go on the road. And you've got these next few games are going to be a little bit of a challenge. And you got L.A. at the end of March and coming to town. So they got to stack these wins up now because my fear is Miami's going to get healthy and they're going to put on a little bit of a run. I think we can catch New York and Philadelphia, but they both got long-term injuries. And I think we're a better team than both of those teams right now.
Let me ask you this real quick before we let you go. How much laughing? And listen, I'm a LeBron guy just because of his generational talent that he has, and I don't understand how people can be like they do a comparison. All right, it's two different eras, yada yada yada. But I like LeBron. We graduated the same year in high school. Like I watched him since his very first, right? But here's my thing: I had a chuckle the other night when I saw his comment that says, "Everybody leave Bronny alone. He doesn't need." You're the one that started the whole damn thing with his spotlight.
Brandon, be careful. Your sponsor and I had it out a little bit about that specific. He says I was trolling. I said I'm telling the truth. I understand that dads want to support their sons. And I gave examples of Melo and a lot of these other guys who have DJ Wagner, guys who have prodigies as sons who aren't on the media or aren't on social media talking about my son is better than my teammate. And LeBron can get away with that. But I promise you, in an honest moment, he's got teammates that are saying, this guy is just saying his son, who's in college right now as a freshman, is better than me.
He needs to stay in college at least two more years.
You know what? Give the kid a break, man. The kid he died, supposedly, right, on the floor for cardiac arrest, uh-oh, right?
Yeah,
give
he did
kid,
that.
Give the kid – listen, man. Give that young man a break. If he doesn't pick up a ball again, I'm okay with that. If he does, I'm fine with that too. But coming after your father, you can't come up to this like Jordan's son. You can't do that, man.
Yeah.
And have a conversation with your sponsor about it. Because he thinks we're wrong for saying LeBron should not have said
that. Not
the
NBA. Not the NBA. Not the NBA. But
no,
just,
dude, he deleted
children.
The tweet. He deleted the tweet, which says, "Hey,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
effed up." With as much money and moxie he's got, man, don't you have somebody running your Twitter for you? Come
what
on,
was
man.
What's unfortunate, the ball brother that didn't make it, he kind of got pushed too fast.
The one with UCLA.
That would be the kind of case in that, man. I know, man, just kind of watching. I mean, would he do better if he transferred to a different university? Maybe, but
maybe.
Then – you know what I'm saying? He picked USC to be closer to the Lake. You know what I'm saying? The Lakers and to LeBron and the family can dip in, dip out. I think, man, like get out of that shadow, man. Go build your own. I said that before he went to USC. Go somewhere where you can be your own and you ain't got to be in your. Technically, you are in your father's shadow. You are at USC. You in the back pocket of the Lakers. You're in the back pocket of LA.
Yeah,
like man, I know, crazy. Think it out of the box. Come to IU. So,
you never know. But you know what? And we don't know any of these people. We don't know these people. But for me, right. Bron seems like the type of father that would jump through a brick wall at any time, day or night, for his family. Take your time, man. Take your foot off the gas and stop leveling up with him and saying, well, he can help us right now. And then deleting tweets. Let him do what he does, man. And if he says to you, Dad, and I had this kind of situation with my son after my dad got sick, weren't able to stop picking up a basketball. For over a year, he didn't pick up a basketball. Now, he was a hoop junkie, and I didn't force him, man. Maybe that young man says, you know what, I'm doing this for my dad. And I this is an honest, you know, a real-life situation. My son would have been in college playing basketball right now. But with that situation with my dad, man, it took a lot out of the tornado, and also a friend of his committing suicide to the point of where he didn't pick up a ball for a year, man. This is at Warren Central when he was there. So that's real, man, and that's why I try to tell people. You don't know what these young kids, their mindset aren't adult mind. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if the kid wants to play or not. I hope he does because he is talented, but I hope he's not doing it just to please his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can call me crazy. I don't know. I get in spurts where I just can't stand certain Pacers for a bit.
Who you got? Who you got?
And it's a fan favorite that I'm not. He's kind of in my doghouse right now, and I think we can find
not
better.
TJ.
No.
Not TJ.
He is a point guard.
Oh. Nembhard.
Nembhard just doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. I tried.
Energy,
it does.
Energy. The comparison in him and TJ, and we were talking about that. But here's the difference, though,
man.
Right? He's on a second round pick contract, and TJ's going next year into almost $10 million, right? And unfortunately, it's a numbers thing, right? And you're right, Bo Brandon. If everything was equal, TJ would be the guy the way he's played, and Nembhard would be watching.
I don't know. Is there just something? Not time. Halliburton finally hits a three. Jesus Christ, 1 for 5.
He's a low key guy though too though. Nembhard is really low. He's also like Ben, right? He's really low. He doesn't say much.
I'll tell you this: as much as I give people shit, Pacers shit for things that are on my shit list, I got to give a prop. And John, you can cut this because I don't hardly ever.
Hey, John, cut it. Cut it, John. Get ready, John.
Ever. Especially for this guy.
Uh-oh.
But I got to give it to him. God damn it, Miles Turner. If you can just play just play like you did against Dallas, against every damn team, like 33, 8, and a couple blocks. God, look, come on, Miles. You can do that.
And hit buckets in traffic. Did you see in the second half?
Him 10 or 15.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Strong.
In traffic. Hey, guys, quick. Here's a quick one. What do you think about this? You remember, well, you all don't remember, but back in the ABA days, right, so the free throw shooter, they got one of two things. They got either 2 of 3 or it was 1 plus 1. And I think the 1 plus 1 has an opportunity to come back to the NBA. Because of the foul situation and guys loading up at the free throw line, what do you guys one and one for the NBA? Similar to college,
one and one,
move it to 7 fouls, not 5. Calling everything. What do you think?
Man, 7? Nah, man, no.
I'm talking about putting you in the bonus. I'm talking about putting you in the bonus. If you're shooting, you're shooting, but putting you into the bonus at 7 versus 5.
Nah,
beats the game up. Beats the game up.
I don't know if it does. I think it might go down.
They've thought about this. They've kind of.
It gives you more gimme fouls. I think it slows it down.
Well, but here's the thing: your rotations are shorter, and you're not going to be giving gimme in, right? Because
put the foul outs at 5. That'll slow some shit down.
There you go. You got to do something because the way it's working, like we talked about. Freedom of movement and the Zha-Zha rule have really created a thing. And also, too, someone else said to me on social media today, said, what about canceling out the corner three? Bringing the line out so it's a 2 until you get toward the team bench.
You're trying to be the ABA, man. They can't do that, man.
I'm not shrinking it. I'm expanding it because what I'm saying is the corner three is the easiest three. Get rid of it.
It is.
Bring the line out.
Hey, man. Hey, listen, you still got to hit it. Ray Allen, I get it. That was like a layup for him.
Hey, man, listen.
But he's the only one. There's nobody else to hit the corner three like him.
They're talking about changing the rules, man. Hey, I'm just throwing it out there, man. They're going to change some of the rules.
I'm against it.
It's good stuff, man. It's good fodder, at least for sure.
Yep.
But hopefully we'll get this game tonight, and we can stack some wins, man. I'm really worried about Miami. And to be quite honest, I'm not crazily concerned about Philly or the Knicks because they're both injured. Because the Pacers can either of those teams, the Pacers will beat in the series. My concern is Miami. They just have the Pacers number, and it's just something about the Miami Heat that always gives me just, you know, bad vibes. Maybe it's the LeBron days or whatever, but it just gives me bad vibes.
All right, Decott, it's a pleasure, my man.
Appreciate you guys. Hey, thanks for letting me vent, fellas. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yep. You too. All right, it's our guy, Decott. John, thank you to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Maverick Custom Motorsports, both of them. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do the show that we're doing. John, I got a couple things while Decott was on, I was looking up. There's a new, and I didn't know this was possible, or this happened, but Chris Paul revealed on a podcast with Jalen Wheeler, I believe, Jalen Wheeler. Chris Paul reveals that he was almost traded to Miami to team up with LeBron and Dwayne Wade, but the trade did not happen because D-Wade wouldn't give up the number 3.
So that was the hang-up of the jersey?
Yeah. D-Wade didn't want to give up the number 3 to Chris Paul, which I don't think he should either.
Man, do you remember the homie we had on here, Jet Say Hi? I was just in the rapper from a couple months ago. Man, I had a conversation with him, and, like, he's a big at one point he was a big-time Laker fan. He thinks that's an injustice still to this day in 2024 that they don't allow – they didn't allow that trade to happen between Chris Paul and the Lakers. And Kobe Bryant. Man, sound like the NBA's been like trying to get Chris Paul a championship, man, somehow, some way, man.
Right?
But, like, I don't know if it's going to he's played with the Clippers, you know what I'm saying, Live City. He, you know what I'm saying, he had his own team in Oklahoma that one year. That was kind of cool. They made the playoffs. Remember, we played Chris Paul with Harden. Chris Paul with Westbrook. Like, man, how many chances did he get at the Apple, bro? And now you're telling me there was a failed chance. LeBron, they would have won a chance. LeBron would have gotten a ring.
Right.
How about that?
What do you think of soft-ass Charmin Kevin Durant when he was running out on the court and that fan called him a bitch?
I didn't even really pay attention to that, man. The things Kevin Durant pays attention to versus the things that he doesn't pay attention to is amazing. Yeah, it's amazing, man. The things that he doesn't pay attention to are, like, the real things that, like, from a hardcore basketball, like, you know, the purist in me, like, dude, like, man, I wouldn't care what no fans say. Unless they call, you know, like, super out of pocket, I get it, man. But I wouldn't care what no fans say. They pay to see me, and I get paid triple A, whatever they didn't call.
Yeah, we're not a circus animal. We're not a zoo animal. They called him a bitch. If you soft and you can't accept somebody calling you a bitch, like,
I was like, who you talking to? I was like, not me. But, like, he ran back.
I mean, my wallet says otherwise.
Right. Man, boy, please. I'm about to put a bitch on your team. About to put a
right?
bitch on Dallas.
Exactly. That's
what it would have been. Right. That would have been the bitch.
Exactly. Real quick note, the college football 14-team playoff is gaining more steam right now, John. The model, which I don't like at all, the most discussed coming out of the meeting in Dallas would include automatic qualifier spots for the Big Ten and the SEC. So they would get 3 automatic qualifiers no matter what into this this expanded 14 team. 3 from the Big Ten, 3 from the SEC, 2 for the Big 12, and ACC gets 2, and then 1 from the Group of 5. This would leave 3 at-large spots for that 14-team model. Man, I don't want to guarantee 3 spots for the Big. It's the Big Ten SEC Invitational. I mean, I know it's going to be that regardless, but we don't need no guaranteed spots.
Definitely not, man. Not no guarantee, man. When you think about what happens, what transpires throughout the season, if a Big Ten team or even SEC team is somewhere in pack in the middle, like that means they were probably not good. You know what I mean? I get it. They might have some level of NFL talent somewhere buried on their roster. I get it that if you put, I don't know, who was middle pack of the SEC this year? I can't think of my head. But, hell, like, when the SEC teams are bad, they bad. Vanderbilt was bad. Florida was like, man, you told them. I'm surprised that coach didn't get fired in week 3.
Might be this year.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, So you tell me, you telling me, like, the middle pack of the SEC or even the Big Ten, a team like Wisconsin, middle pack, Luke Fickell, he need to go back to Cincinnati. No, they don't deserve to be in nobody's playoff of any kind.
Right?
So,
yeah.
No.
And the old model, 80% of the college football revenue went to the Power Five, while 20% was allocated to the Group of Five. According to the most recent data from the college football playoff, each of the Power Five conferences received $79 million, a total of almost $400 million in the spring of 2023. The Group of Five shared $102 million. Notre Dame received a payment of $3 million by meeting the NCAA's APR standard, while the other six independents shared $1.89 million. The new model promises to be more weighted towards the SEC and Big Ten. This is centered around them. Maybe between 25% to 30% of the college football playoff revenue would go to the Big Ten ACC or Big Ten SEC. Excuse me. The ACC Big 12 would be next. They'd somewhat between 15% and 20%, and a smaller chunk of 6% to 10% to the other leagues, and just 1% for Notre Dame.
Hmm.
They need to get a conference.
I don't know.
They're like pushing them into it, saying, we're not going to give you any money. You get 1%. You're better off just getting into the conference.
And another underbelly of this, Brandon, is that FSU still thinks that they got to get out of the ACC, but, like, you're pushing yourself to get out of the ACC to get into the madness of the Big Ten and the SEC. Because, Brandon, in everything that you just said, you didn't say the Big 12 at all. Which is kind of astonishing.
Well, they're in there with the ACC. They get the same percentage as the ACC.
But you saying the Big Ten, the SEC just run things?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Brandon, come on. I know I'm sounding weird, whiny man. Some of them Big Ten, Big 12 teams is better than the Big Ten teams.
I agree.
The Big 12 teams.
I'm not saying they're not.
Texas and Oklahoma went over, but, like, Baylor's still there. And if Baylor. That's a hot mess, man. A team like TCU had a down year this year. I think they're expected to kind of have a bounce back year next year. But, like, the Big 12, you got to respect the Big 12 more than that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Brandon, so, like, this, we all know that at some point everybody says that it looks like the Big 10 and SEC are going to break away from everybody. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like the Big 12 is like they're pissing on them too.
Yep.
And they got a lot of, you know what I'm saying, you know, I don't know. We'll do a deeper dive.
That's a summer conversation.
Yes, sir.
We're going to probably end the show here soon. I know people wanted to talk to us about, I know we wanted to talk Purdue and IU, but I think we've kind of done that ad nauseum the last week or so. But we'll dive into college basketball a little bit more next week. As we get closer to the conference tournament, credentials have been sent in for the Horizon League, John, so we'll wait to hear back from that. We'll be making our appearance back to there. I got to play this, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Bagpipes, John. You know, bagpipes, never good.
Never.
We lost a WWF legend, John, today. Virgil passed away.
Yep.
Damn, I hate to see it. I realized I sent you RIP, and then I didn't even send it at all, so I left it at that, and I like back, oh, shit, I got to send in the actual picture. But what's your fondest memory of Virgil, man?
Nah, man, great wrestling, great. You know what I'm saying? He was just part of the, you know, Million Dollar Man's act, you know, his bodyguard. He made it believable. You know, he was tough exterior. I want to say he was a great worker in the ring. I think originally he was supposed to be a boxer, but he kind of flamed out there or whatever. But, like, they put him in like a crazy, like, tuxedo, sequence tuxedo, and he was a Million Dollar Man's bodyguard, man. I thought it was a great gimmick and character for him when he, you know, because everybody shakes out with the WWF, WWE or whatever, and they end up going, he ended up working for the WCW. His name in WCW was VK, I cannot remember his last name. It was like VK Simmons or something like that. Anyway, the VK was supposed to be like it's supposed to be like Vincent McMahon. Like, because you know what, Brandon? Here's the deal. So, like, they gave Million Dollar Man, he was supposed to be the exact opposite of Dusty Rhodes. You know, Vincent McMahon, before he went crazy, he was real psychological in his, like, you know, how he went about going against the competition. So over there, Dusty Rhodes was the American Dream. He was like, you know what I'm saying, for the Comic Man, all that other. So, like, Vince said, he went the opposite way. He made Ted DiBiase the billionaire, the millionaire. Like, I don't care. I'm going to give these little kids dribble the basketball for $100, and I ain't going to give them money. That's what we remember about Ted DiBiase. But here's the thing, though. He named him Virgil, which is actually a dig at – it's actually a dig at Dusty Rhodes. That's Dusty Rhodes' real name, Virgil. So it's kind of a dig because when Dusty finally did come over to the WWE, they gave him Sapphire, which was like a stupid look. I mean, that didn't even make sense, though. Why they gave Dusty Rhodes, who could talk like this crazy, you know what I'm saying, manager, and they gave him, you know, talking out or whatever. But, like, yeah, man, he was named Virgil after Dusty Rhodes, man. It's kind of supposed to be like a dig, you know what I'm saying, to Dusty. But, like, no, man, Virgil actually, you know what I'm saying, was a pretty good, you know what I'm saying, character. And, I mean, there wasn't too many controversies I could think of, but, like, man, he was good in the role that they kind of put him in, bodyguard role, you know what I'm saying, take a bump here, there, you know what I mean. And, from a classic wrestling standpoint, man, he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, tough to see. I didn't realize he had a small stint in AEW. I didn't realize that he had a
Tony trying to pay anybody.
Old Train Jones was his persona.
Oh, my goodness.
So his last appearance on wrestling, WWE, was May 17th, 2010 on Raw. He was reprising his Virgil role, but this time he was with Ted DiBiase Jr. So he did that for a few. But following week, DiBiase apologized to Virgil, but then fired him and replaced him with Maurice. So, hey, there you go. But R.I.P. Virgil, I always think of him. If I have to think of him right now, John, in my head, I just picture him in the corner of that ring just counting that money in that little white and pink sequins outfit, just counting the money for Ted. So R.I.P. to him. So tough to see. Real quick, Indiana basketball, IU, you got one done last night.
Yep.
Ware finally showed up and played like he would be a lottery pick last night.
Right.
But they got a win against a Wisconsin team, and, you know, you got to see more. Got to see more. I mean, they're fighting for an NIT battle berth right now. I'm not sure who do they got. John, I'm trying to think who they've got next.
Last three games?
Yeah, who they got coming up? Oh, they've got Maryland on Sunday, at Maryland, and then at Minnesota, their next two. Hmm. So tough game there. On the road, yep. For sure. So we'll see what happens. But, we'll go from there. Boilermakers, they beat Michigan, up in Michigan, put a stomp on them. Edie the Beast. God, I would love Edie to come back one more year. They said, Edie will be going to the draft this year. So I didn't realize he had another year possible of eligibility. That would have been nuts. But they play Michigan. Purdue's got the whole week off. They play Michigan State at home Saturday night. So we'll see what happens. 25-3, 14-3 overall, three games left. They can clinch close with the Big Ten championship regular season coming up. John, you got anything before we close, my man?
Nah, man, I just want to stamp it, man. Purdue has got to stay away from being stagnant. Their team that's kind of got their mindset and what they want to do, probably not necessarily putting the Big Ten tournament in front of the NCAA tournament, but, like, definitely got their eyes on the NCAA tournament for sure, man. But, like, they just got to remain and not get stagnant, man. I know that was a little kooky game they had lost against Ohio State. So, but, they got back to their winning ways. But, I'm surprised at you, Brandon Reek, man. You ain't shout out your new latest basketball. I ain't gonna call him no crush, man, but, like, hey, man, Brandon, I like him too, man. He got some high upside. Reed Shepherd from University of Kentucky, man. Hey, y'all, if he ain't on y'all radar, I'm not saying he white chocolate because I don't think he's that smooth. But he's top five in this draft, but I don't know. He probably should be like top ten. So y'all keep a Kentucky has played up and down for darn sure this season. Particularly due to Rob Dilliger and Reed Shepherd, you know what I'm saying? They're kind of up and down, to be honest with you. The kid Reed Shepherd, he had a game winner last night, and I hadn't really seen the flash all year, but, like, last night, man, the keys, like, Calipari, like, it was game time winning, and it was in a close one, man. He pulled off me, so I thought you know what I'm saying. I want to make sure we mention that. But, man, we had a great show. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank everybody for chiming in. on the live Facebook Live. I want to thank everybody for also sharing it, those who shared it.
I'll get more videos out, I promise. I'm going to get more videos. I'm just preparing how I want to do it. If I want to do like a one-minute man, if I want to do – I'd like to do like one- or two-minute type of thing, get just pop and get a topic out on something. So I'm working on it, people. I'm trying to figure out the right play I want to go with it. So it's coming.
Yeah, man, you just got to get out there and get it going, man. But like, no, man, we had some great interactions today. I want to thank D-Cop for calling in. He's a homie for life, man. Always comes with that great Pacer content. I want to say thank you, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. I want to say thank you to Maverick Custom Motor Sports, both of our sponsors. How can we do Crossroads Sports without them? I want to say make sure that, if you don't follow us on Twitter, do so. Follow Brandon Reef on Twitter. Follow Crossroads Sports on Twitter. Follow Three Foolish Men on Twitter. The show and the conversation does not stop here on the podcast. Episode number 2. What were we at? Episode number 290 was another class, man. I know we got to count down to 300, but like we're just gonna keep on churning out class after class, man, until we get there. Until then, this has been Crossroads Sports. I'm Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon Reef. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.